All right, brethren, chapter 8 of Acts. The Lord Jesus sent Philip to this Ethiopian man. It says there in verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. I read that this was the old Gaza road, and that's significant. There was a newer, shorter road to Gaza, but the Lord directed Philip to go down to this old Gaza road toward Africa. So you see the Lord directing him exactly to the place. The Lord Jesus is sovereign to bring his lost sheep the gospel. He's sovereign to bring the gospel, the true preaching of the gospel, right to where his child is, or to bring his child under the sound of the gospel. And that's what the Lord did here in sending Philip to this back road in the desert. This man had been up to Jerusalem to worship. He went up there lost, and he came back lost. And the Lord didn't use any of the men in Jerusalem to teach him, because they were lost. But this man was a chosen child of God. He was an elect child of God, chosen from before the foundation of the world. And one Christ was surety for, one Christ had redeemed by his precious blood. He must hear the gospel. He must be given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The justice of God demands he must be called. But God didn't use those false teachers in Jerusalem. He used Philip with the truth, with the gospel. You think about this. What did it take to put away our sin? It took the Son of God coming in human flesh and obeying the law in perfection, going to the cross, laying down his life for his sheep, which is what he said. I lay down my life for the sheep. It took him doing that to put away the sin of his people. Would he do that? Be sovereign to do that and accomplish that redemption of his people? Then send a message that declares he died for everybody without exception. But it's up to you. Would he then send that message to save his people? If he was able to lay down his life for his sheep, as he said he did, and accomplish their redemption, and sovereign to do it, and accomplished it, then would he say, well, I guess I'll just have to save through this message that says I died for everybody? No, not at all. Would Christ be made a curse and redeem us from the curse of the law, and then save his people through the message that tells sinners they have to keep the law to be saved? Would he declare throughout his scriptures that he's the sanctifier and the sanctification of his people, and then save through a message that gives man the glory for sanctification? Not at all. It's impossible to believe on Christ in truth until we've been taught the truth of Christ by Christ. You see, when he sends his messenger, it's Christ speaking. Go over to Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what you need. You need righteousness, you need salvation. And to have righteousness, to have salvation, is only by believing on Christ in the heart. That's the only way. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Whenever, see there where it says, how beautiful are the feet of them? This comes out of Isaiah 52. And when the Lord gave that word in Isaiah 52, he said the feet of him. Speaking of Christ, he said, when I come, right here he's speaking of his messenger, them. But when Christ said, when I send my messenger, he said, my people shall hear my voice and they'll know it is I that do speak. That's what he said. My people will hear my voice and my people will know it's me that's speaking to them. And this is what the scripture said. You've learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him. That you've heard him. And been taught by him. As the truth is in Jesus. Christ alone is the one who fulfills prophecy. He's the only one that does it. And he fulfills this prophecy from Jeremiah 3:15. He said, I will give you pastors after mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's what Christ promised to do, and that's what he does. And he gives it to his people. So Philip came upon this Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah 53. Philip didn't know where he's being sent. He just knew the Lord told him to go there. And so he goes. And he comes along, and there's this Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah 53. This man being a eunuch probably means he was an officer, very powerful man, as it says he is here, rather than meaning he was mutilated so that he was unable to produce children. Potiphar is called a eunuch, and he had a wife. Balaam was called a eunuch, and he had Jannes and Jambres were his sons. Now, the word eunuch doesn't always mean somebody that's unable to produce children. It means an officer. And that's what this man was. He was a powerful man. In verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he come up and sit with him. Man by nature is proud. Man by nature is proud. You ask most men about God, and they'll tell you they know God. They'll tell you what they know. Here's what I believe. What have you? Man's proud by nature, especially men of great authority like this man was. Unwilling to admit ignorance, unwilling to be taught by man, especially a stranger. Philip just shows up. He don't know Philip. And especially God's preacher who's preaching the gospel, which is offensive to natural man. But the first indication that the Lord has worked grace in the heart of a man is the Lord makes the man teachable. He makes him teachable. When Philip asked him if he understood what he read, he answered, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he'd come up and sit with him. That's the work of God's grace. That's God's grace that gives us that heart. To be willing to know, I can't know this unless I have some man to guide me. Only God can give a sinner a willingness to be taught by the man God sends to him. That's just God's way. That's offensive to men, but that's God's way. And I want you to note, too, the humility that God had put in this man. Verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was, he's led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. It's reading out of Isaiah 53. And we get down to verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? That is a rare and precious thing right there. That somebody hears the scripture preached and is humble in spirit and willing to admit, I don't understand the scripture. Will you teach me? That is a rare thing. God gives that. A man desiring to be taught the gospel. What a rare, precious thing. Only the Lord gives it. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. He was reading from Isaiah 53. And verse 32 says, the place in the scripture where it says he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. I can hear Philip declare, this one who was led as a sheep to the slaughter. This one that was submitted to be led like a lamb is the Lamb of God. This one is the Son of God, come down in human flesh. This is God in human flesh that came forward. Submitted him to God who made the world, God who upholds all things, God who's in sovereign control of every man's heart, submitted for men to lead him like a sheep to the slaughter. He came not to condemn his elect. If he opened his mouth, he's going to condemn them because he's innocent. He's innocent. And if he opens his mouth, he's going to condemn those he came to save. And so he kept his mouth shut when he was accused, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. He opened it not. And in his humiliation, humbling himself, opening not his mouth, his judgment was taken away. They came and they took him from prison. And they had a mock trial and they took judgment from him. They brought up false charges and railed on him, mocked him, did all the things they did to him, took his judgment away, and then they took him and led him away to the cross and nailed him to the cursed tree. And he was in control of everything that took place. They were doing what God before determined to be done. That's what every man in this world's doing. They're doing what God determined before to be done, to glorify Christ and save his people. And that's what was taking place on Calvary's cross. He suffered the holy justice of God, the wrath of God. He suffered the hell that every one of his people, you sitting here right now, he suffered the hell that his people earned, that we deserve. He suffered it. He went under the wrath of God and bore the hell we deserve. That living, eternal death in hell that we deserve. That's what Christ bore for us for bearing our sin. And he satisfied God's justice. That was his own justice. That was his own law. He's God, and he satisfied his own justice. He satisfied his own law, fulfilled it for his people. And he took away the sins of his people like the scapegoat pictured. He took them away to a land not inhabited. That means a land where nobody can find them anymore. A land where God don't even remember them anymore. God said, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He's talking about every chosen child that he chose by free grace and gave to Christ, who Christ laid down his life for and justified and purged all our sins away. God said, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness. Has he been merciful to your unrighteousness? Does he keep being merciful to your unrighteousness? He's merciful to our unrighteousness before we knew him and after we've known him. He's merciful to their unrighteousness. And he said, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know what good news that is? I won't remember it anymore. God's forgotten the sins of his people. They've been put away. They've been paid for. They've been atoned for. And having manifest the righteousness of God, having conquered sin, death, and hell, that grave couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold our Lord Jesus Christ. He came out of that grave and ascended to the right hand of the Father. And I can hear Philip saying to that Ethiopian eunuch, this one who was led like a lamb to the slaughter, this one who opened not his mouth, who suffered and bled and died in a room instead of his people, this one is risen and has all power in heaven and earth. And sir, he's the one that sent me to you to preach this gospel to you. He's the one that sent me out here on this old Gaza road to preach the gospel to you, to declare him to you. And he said, those who believe him, those who trust him, those who see by faith that they were really in Christ and crucified in Christ, and that justice has already destroyed their old man of sin before the law of God, that they went into the grave and were buried, and when they came out in Christ, a new man, risen, seated with him at his right hand, where they are there right now, their life is hid with him. Those who believe him and see him, they want to confess him. They want to show it in believer's baptism. They want to go into that watery grave and show, I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. I rose with Christ. They want to confess him publicly because they're not ashamed anymore to confess him. Verse 36 says, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water." That's pretty convenient, wasn't it? It just so happened. After Philip preached the gospel to them, they came to some water. The Lord led them right there to that certain water. Just like He speaks about a certain man being one of His chosen people. There was some certain water right there, just chosen for this man right here. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is God's one requirement for a sinner to confess Christ in a believer's baptism. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is God's one requirement for a sinner to confess Christ in a believer's baptism. This man never met Philip. He never heard the truth of the gospel preached. Philip comes along. He preaches one gospel message to this man. And this man asks to be baptized. Would you baptize him? He didn't sit and listen to 3 years or 4 years worth of messages or 15 or 20. He just heard one message. Peter preached one message at Pentecost. 3,000 sinners confessed Christ and apostles baptized them that day. Paul preached one message to Lydia and her house, and the Lord opened her heart and the heart of the elect in her house, and she confessed she believed. Paul baptized her that day. Paul preached one message to the Philippian jailer in his house, and that night they confessed they believed the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul baptized them that night. There's one requirement. There's just one requirement. Verse 37, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." This is the one requirement to confess Christ in baptism. We just read it, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Somebody will want to confess Christ. "Well, I don't see any righteousness in him." That's why he believes on Christ. That's why he's confessing he needs Christ. He don't have any. You believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Look at Hebrews 11 with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11, 1. "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith the elders obtained a good report." That's how. That's how God received them. They believed the Lord Jesus. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." We know that through faith. We believe that. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Only thing Abel did, he did exactly what that Ethiopian eunuch is doing. He came before God confessing, "I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all my righteousness and all my hope." That's why God testified. He pleased God. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." When you read faith right there, you can put Christ in the place of faith right there. Because faith is believing Christ has done it. That's what faith believes. And it's not just your faith that did all of that. It's Christ who faith lays hold of. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without believing on His Son, who He's pleased with, it's impossible to please Him. "He that cometh to God must believe that He is." That He's what? That He's everything He says in His Word. "That He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Well, what about John the Baptist? He told those Pharisees, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. He said, who told you, generation of vipers, to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Why did he tell them that? Because that's what they did to other men. They were the holy men. They set the bar, and you had to meet their expectation, or you couldn't accept it. And John the Baptist turned it right back on him, and he said, you men are the ones that need to bring forth fruit of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance from everything about yourself and every work you've ever done. That's what, when we confess faith in Christ, we are confessing repentance from any and all former confidence. We are confessing a total denial of self. We deny ourselves, confessing that all our former religion and all our thoughts of God was a worthless lie. That's all it was. We didn't know God. We deny ourselves, confessing that no righteousness, no holiness is of us. We're not the producer of it. We confess we are the sinner. That's the only thing we're glorying in. That's the only thing we can take the credit for. We are the sinner. I'm not talking about a theoretical sinner and a doctrine of depravity. I'm saying I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I sin every day, every hour of every day, every moment of every day. I'm sinning right this minute. I'm talking about a real sinner. I'm not somebody that, if it was left to you for 1 second, God put you in hell and be just to do it. I'm talking about a sinner. That's what God's people are confessing. We confess we believe Christ alone is our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. He alone is. Faith rests in Christ and trusts Christ to save me to the end. Every step of the way. When Philip said with the whole heart, if you believe with the whole heart, he doesn't mean strong faith. He doesn't even mean full assurance of faith. It may be weak faith, and it usually is. It may be imperfect faith, and it always is. He means if you truly believe on Christ from the heart. The Spirit of God gave this Ethiopian faith in the Lord Jesus. Listen to this, verse 37. This is how he answered. He answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say, I believe in the doctrine of total depravity. He didn't say, I believe in the doctrine of election. He didn't say, I believe in the doctrine of predestination. I believe in the doctrine of particular redemption. I believe all those things, and God's people believe all those doctrines. But the doctrine didn't lay down his life and save me on Calvary's cross. And if a man came confessing that to Philip, Philip would have said, no, we'll wait a while. We'll wait a while. This man confessed he didn't know much. He didn't know much. But he believed Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's faith. That's true faith. That's saving faith. That's a true confession. I believe that Jesus, that man Jesus, he's the only Savior of sinners. His name shall be called Jesus, Savior, for he shall save his people from their sin. I believe that Jesus Christ, that he's the one anointed of God. God chose him. God anointed him to be the prophet, priest, and king of his people. You know what that means, prophet, priest, and king? Everything you need to be saved. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe the man Jesus is God in human flesh. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's equal and he's eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And the redemption he accomplished is eternal. He's God. The Savior. That's a true confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They kicked out that blind man that the Lord gave sight. He didn't measure up. They kicked him out because he said, I don't know much about this man. He said, all I know is I was blind and I see now. And they put him out. Mom and Daddy wouldn't even side with him. Put him out. The Lord came to him. Jesus heard that they cast him out. When he found him, he said to him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. When the Lord turned to Peter and the rest of the apostles, and that multitude was walking away, they heard the Lord preach Christ, preach himself, and preach that you have to be called of the Father, and you have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. You have to believe him alone, or you have no life. They said, "It's a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And they went away. And the Lord turned to Peter and the apostles, and he said, "Go with them. You're welcome to go. You want to go? Go." Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." God's people believe a person is salvation. We believe a person is righteousness. We believe a person is holiness. We believe a person is redemption. We believe a person is salvation. And we don't believe that we contribute one bit. Not one iota. And if you set a bar for somebody to meet, that's a fatal mistake. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Listen now. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. That's God's word. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that's begotten of him. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? John said the things written in his gospel were written for this reason. In John 20:31, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You believe on Christ? John said, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have the witness in you. And he said, and if you believe him, you have eternal life. There's got to be more to it than that. Only for the Pharisee. Only for the Pharisee. Not for God's people that he saves. Christ is all. Christ is all. We're learning more and more every day how vile we are and how incapable we are of contributing anything to salvation. That's what we're learning. And we're learning more and more every day the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you learning the grace of the Lord Jesus? Has he been gracious to you? Was he gracious to you when you didn't know him? Was he gracious to send the gospel and call you? Has he been gracious to you since he called you? Has he forgiven you every single day? Every single day. Has he been merciful to you? He's teaching us this more and more and more. The grace of our Lord Jesus. And he's growing us in knowledge of him. That he is everything. He's God. He's salvation. He is. And if you have him, you have all. If you have him, you have acceptance with God. You think about it. You're believing God. He is God, and you're believing God. And that's the only way you have acceptance, is believing God. Well, don't we have to know something? You have to know him. You have to know him. How can you believe on him whom you've not heard? You've got to know him. But when he's revealed himself to you and you know him and you believe him, you have life. That's what we're confessing when we confess him in baptism. Philip knew God's the judge. You know, when somebody asks to be baptized, I don't know their heart. I don't know anybody's heart. But I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. God's the judge. God alone knows the heart. And Philip believed God. He believed God. He took the man's confession, knowing it was between the Ethiopian and God. And that's what it is. It's between God and the child he's called. Verse 38 says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Brethren, when the Spirit gives a man faith in Christ, he will confess Christ in water baptism. Believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the one prerequisite to water baptism. That is how we're saved. Believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen.